we'll really just comment on the first, very, very first part of this verse. Love suffereth long and is kind. The first three verses of this chapter are all negative, just to put a little perspective on what we have here. It doesn't say, for example, that because of love, I would give all my goods to the poor. It says, if I gave all my goods to the poor and had not love, it would profit nothing. You see the manner in which it's stated in a negative sense. It speaks of futility, speaks of impotence, inability, speaks of worthlessness. Absent this one essential grace from God, love. Even a faith, it's declared here, even a faith that does not love God and his people is an empty sham. And the fact that there is such a thing as faith like that explains a lot. When we see the religion of this world and know them by their fruits. This is the blackest of backgrounds, futility, hopelessness. And then in verse 4, there's a jewel laid upon that background. And we see the first refraction of the most beautiful light. Love suffereth long. Without love, we can do nothing. We have nothing. We are nothing. But the kind of love that is essential, the kind of love without which we are nothing, is not easy come, easy go. That's what we're told here. This kind of love that we're talking about doesn't come and go. It doesn't fade. It doesn't easily quit. The word for suffereth long is does not lose heart. It's not an affectation of the heart, that is a pretense or a posturing, but it is an attribute of the heart. It's the kind of heart we have from God, not by nature, but the new heart that God gives in salvation. It's an attribute of that heart. Love, just as God is love, and he creates within us a right spirit and a clean heart, a heart that's like his, that is created in righteousness and true holiness, a heart of faith and love for him. That new heart is given by God in salvation. And that love suffereth long. And let's make something clear right away about all of the statements in this verse and in this chapter about love. This description is so contrary to our nature. It's so opposed, it's diametrically opposed to how it is in this world. With people, with sinners, with all of us by nature, that this can't simply be attributed to the different strengths and weaknesses of the love in different people. This chapter describes a love that most people simply do not have. You see the difference? It's so different. It's so contrary. It's so unlike us. It's not talking about different strengths and weaknesses. It's a love that we do not have by nature, and most people never will have. A love that suffers long, because you know and I know that what passes for love in this world is so fickle and so fleeting and so changing, so unreliable, so unpredictable. Remember that this love is the fruit of God's Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is this love that's described in this chapter, and the fruit of the Spirit is only produced as we abide in Christ. Those that abide in me, John chapter 15, they bear much fruit. What fruit? The fruit of the Spirit. If you don't abide in the vine, you're not bearing fruit. You're dead, fit to be burned. And as we know, most sinners, as they walk this earth, do not abide in Christ. And so that's why it's evident that they just simply don't have this love. Now, we who do abide in Christ, we also have the old nature, which does not possess this love. The old nature doesn't change. We have two natures. And the old one does not possess this love either. And that's why we're so prone to lose heart for the most petty reasons. And again, how different the definition in this chapter of love is to what we experience, even we who do abide in Christ. This is why friendships built over decades can be tossed aside without reason. And so-called marriages of a lifetime can dissolve because of common pride over petty differences. This love is the love of Christ that's shed abroad in sinners' hearts when God puts us in Him. It's different love. The reason its existence depends upon the vine, Christ, is because the essence of this love is divine. It's not human in its nature, except that Christ was made like unto His brethren. He is the human being in which this love perfectly dwells. He's it. But we have His heart in us now. And that's why this is an attribute of the heart that He gives. But so affected by sin that we still see the difference, don't we? We read this and if it weren't for Christ, we would despair. We wouldn't read this and say, oh yeah, that's me. No, it's not me, but it is my Savior. This love is said to cover a multitude of sins. We speak of justification when we preach the gospel because it's the glorious truth that because of Christ and His sin-cleansing blood, we actually, literally have no sin before God. Our sin is as far as the east is from the west, from God. It's behind His back. These analogies are given in the scripture to show that our sin does not exist before God. He hath beheld no iniquity in Jacob. Though Jacob's a worm in and of himself, the Lord has beheld no iniquity in him because He sees His Jacobs in Christ. He doesn't look to us for righteousness. He looks to our Savior who is our righteousness. All sin is before God, and we just don't have any because we are justified in and by Christ and what he accomplished for us on Calvary and at the empty tomb. That is wonderful truth, and we preach that truth, but it's not the whole truth. It's not all of the truth, where the Bible also speaks of forgiveness. And forgiveness, for there to be forgiveness, there must be the acknowledgement of sin. We are still taught to pray, Father, forgive us of our trespasses. The Lord is not ignorant of what we are and what we do. We're still taught to pray, Lord, forgive us. Why? Because we still sin. We are washed, and we need not but that he wash our feet, but we still cry, Lord, purge me, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. That's still our prayer. And so this love, it covereth sin. It doesn't ignore it. It doesn't excuse it. But it covers it. That's our Savior's love. And that's the love that he puts within us, the fruit of his Spirit. And notice that it's the fruit of the Spirit. That is love that's born. Fruit comes from the plant and nutrients that we'll never see, and we don't see how it comes about. Sometimes it seems like something to be planted in your garden. It grows every day. You can almost sit there and watch it grow. We don't understand all that. We don't see all that, but we can see the fruit. So it is with the fruit of the Spirit. The Spirit is spoken of as you can't tell where he came from or where he'll go, but you can hear the sound. You see the evidence. You see the result. The fruit of the Spirit is love. This is love that can be seen. This is love that's experienced. But it also has a source, right? The fruit of the Spirit in your heart. The fruit of the Spirit in us, the fruit of Christ in you, the hope of glory, what is produced as a result of Christ dwelling in you is that you love him. You love his sheep. You love his people. You love what he loves. Isn't that what he said about Job? He fears me and he loves what I love, hates what I hate. This is love that loves in spite of. That's what suffereth long means. It means in spite. Here's the love that we're talking about. See if this doesn't define love that suffers long. God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, which is what love is. Christ died for us. God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners. Are you yet a sinner? Then he yet loves sinners if he loves you. You remember that word yet in the book of Hosea? This love, it bears offenses and injuries. That's part of the definition. If you look it up, suffereth long. It means to bear offenses and injuries. Now, this is seen in Christ in its perfection. In us, it's refracted, but still beautiful. because it's still Him. Even in us, it's Him. Can we love someone and then they hurt us and they abuse us and they are Gomer and we Hosea? Can we love like that when God says, go take unto thee a wife of whoredoms now? That's one thing. This is a picture. And He tells Hosea up front, I'm going to show you how much I love my sheep, my people. And here's how I'm going to do it. You go love a woman and that's one thing. God's love for us is like that. But when God says in chapter 3, go yet and love a woman who is an adulteress. She was always what she was before, but now she's an adulteress. Now she was married and still what she was before. Love her anyway. Go yet and love her. That's this love. This is love that suffereth long. And God used that as a picture now. We're not to compare it to a situation in this life necessarily. We're to compare the power of that kind of love. Divine love that loved us anyway. While we were yet sinners, He set His affection upon us. And when we yet sin, when we yet fail, when we yet despise Him, when we yet turn away, when we yet fall and are unfaithful, selfish, and everything that we are, He loves us anyway. According to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel who look to other gods. In the book of Hosea, God commands this love. You think about this with me. We have a lot to say about if the Lord continues to bless, we'll have a lot to say about this love now that He's describing and how He's doing it. You notice we're not talking about what it feels like. We're talking about what it does. It suffers long. God commanded it, didn't He? You go love her. He still does that. He commands the love. Can we love like that? No. No. Neither would Hosea. Hosea did because God commanded it. Can I stretch forth my withered hand? No. Unless He commands it. And with the command, gives the power. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Without Him, what can I do? It's a no. That doesn't change once we're saved. Without Him, I can still do nothing. And I can still do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. That's how it's been. And that's how it still is. That's how it was with Lazarus. What's he going to do? And that's how it was with Simon in the porch of the palace. And at Pentecost, he could do nothing and he could do everything. And it hinged upon his Savior. It still does. There's no merit in my love. We have a capacity to love that this world doesn't have. That's just true. everybody doesn't abide in Christ and everybody's not going to bear the fruit of love, not this love. But it's not us being better than others. Don't ever think that. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. And is kind. This is a ray of light that shines very bright when the Lord shines it, even through us, even through us. He said, I am the light. And he said, you are the light. I believe we know exactly what he said. This is the life that flows within us from the life source, divine, our Savior, light that is so beautiful. And I'm so glad that love is kind, aren't you? Love is kind. If God has shed abroad his love in your heart, that love is kind. Love rebukes. Love disciplines. We can see that in Scripture too. I could turn to it for you. You know it's there. Love corrects, but love is kind. In all of that, it's kind, and I'm so glad. The smoking flax the Lord will not quench, and the bruised reed he will not break. The King of Love says, sleep on now and take your rest. It is enough. He's so kind towards sinners. And listen to the rest of that verse. He said, it is enough. Sleep on. Take your rest. Behold, the hour is come. And the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. That's enough. Christ giving himself for our sins. Rest in him. How kind is that love? And his ambassadors, you know what they say? I would to God that not only you, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds, except this sin. I'll ask you this again. I've asked you this before. How many people could you name that if you had one word to describe them, it would be this one? Kind. I can think of a few, can't you? I could easily pass over some. And you could too. May God give us this love. You see, this is not a lot of things that love can be. This is one love that is all these things. This is an attribute of God that he passes on to his children. He imparts to his children. But more than that, it's our salvation. If love is defined by what God did for us, and it is, herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Then love is our salvation, if that's what it is. And it is. It's Christ and what he did on the cross, what he accomplished for us. That's the definition of love. You won't find a better one. It's something done. It's something accomplished. Not a feeling, but an attribute that's seen in action. To love indeed is to love. But who, and the only reason I ask that, I don't want us bragging on men, you know that, and saying, you know, this person's so kind, and that one, I don't know about that. It's not about comparison. It's about this. What about me? What about me? May God give us this love. Turn with me to Titus chapter 3. Verse 3, Titus 3:3. Titus 3:3, for we ourselves also were at one time foolish. And this is, of course, in the spiritual sense. We know that we still don't know anything as we ought to know. We're fools. But this is talking about ignorant of God, disobedient, rejecting God and His Word, His Gospel, deceived. We thought, you know, everybody thinks so. Everything's okay with them and the man upstairs until it's not, by the grace of God. Serving diverse lusts and pleasures. In other words, all about me. Whatever makes me happy. That's what it's about. Living in malice and envy. Not only all about me, but when it's all about you, it ain't all about anybody else. So you hate them. You despise them. You sell them for what you could get. Hateful. And hating one another. But we could talk about how that the world just doesn't see that. We don't hate each other. We're buddies. We're best buddies. And just a quick illustration. I am in a group that is. About prepping, you know what prepping is, you know, preparing for the end of the world, and it's all, you know, when it all falls apart, what's going to happen? We laugh about that, but it's not that funny anymore, is it? It's getting less funny, less a subject for joking. But anyway, they're always talking about your, I forget what they refer to it as, but your support group. You want to be, they're joining these little clubs, you know. We're all going to get together when it happens, and we're all going to be. And every once in a while, I can't help but comment on there and say, your group is going to be about 3 or 4 people at the most that won't eat you when it comes down to it. And it's been 3 or 4 is probably way overstated. Now, this church, now I feel comfortable with most of y'all. But you know what I'm talking about? Hating one another? Yeah, we're best buddies. Let me buy you a beer. Until it comes down to it. Me or you. And I say, you need to quit thinking that way. Don't you form little clubs and stuff, because I'm telling you right now, 99% of them will kill you to save themselves or somebody they love. But anyway, just a little illustration that people hate each other. They just don't even know it. They don't even know it. It's pretty obvious when you see people, the way they talk to one another. But this world, that's us by nature. But here's the remedy to that. The kindness. That's what we're talking about. This love is kind to people that flat don't deserve it. We tend to romanticize sin like, oh, he's just an old sinner, you know. No, there's nothing funny about that. God ought to put us in hell and laugh at us while we're crying for mercy. He ought to throw us straight in hell as fast as he can and mock us on the way down. That's what we deserve. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. A child is born. Look, glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth and goodwill toward men, toward sinners, toward wretched, vile, hell-deserving sinners. Not by works of righteousness, which we... Did I have you turn there? Titus 3, yeah, I had you turn there. Look at that. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done. He wasn't kind toward us because we were good to him. He was kind to us in spite of the fact that we hated him. The kindness and love of God, that's what we're talking about. It is embodied. It is integral to the nature of our Savior. He is love. He is kindness. He is mercy. According to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. We're new creatures, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. You see the kind of love we're talking about? The love of the Savior dwells within us. Christ dwells within us. That's why we're capable of love that we were not capable of by nature. We couldn't honestly say to the Savior like Simon did, I love you, as we are by nature. We're the children of wrath by nature, even as others. And this is a have or have not. We need to understand that. John 5:39, search the scriptures, the Lord said to the religious Jews, for in them you think you have eternal life. They studied the scriptures and they trusted their knowledge of the scriptures. You think you have eternal life in your understanding of the scriptures, but you need to search them again. Keep searching, because they are they which testify of me. That's all they do. The scriptures don't teach us how to live. They show us that we don't know how to live. They drive us to the Savior. The law is not a set of rules that we're to strive to follow. Yes, we love the law of God after the inward man. That's God's character in writing. His holiness. But I can't measure up to that. That's not the point, the purpose of the law. It was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, to show us our need, not give us reason to pat ourselves on the back. or even to despair, except that we despair of all else but Him. It's a have or have not. Listen, you will not come to me that you might have life. I don't receive honor from men, but I know you. That you have not the love of God in you. That's why they hated him. That's why they wouldn't come to him. That's why they searched the scriptures and missed him. Because they had not this love in our text in them. It's a have or a have not. And I'll tell you what, if it's a have in your case, it's only by God's grace through His Holy Spirit. Listen to Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith. You know what? I'm through. So let's turn there. Let's look at this together in closing. Romans 5:1, please. Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because all of this is because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. You see that word because? Faith because of love. Hope because of love. Now abideth faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Steadfastness, experience, peace, because of that love that God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Having love for Christ, which cannot be lost. Though it wax and wane, it cannot be lost because it is the gift of God in us. And it brings about all these other benefits. That's why the Lord didn't ask Simon, are you steadfast? Did you learn your lesson now? Are you reliable now? Are you faithful? Can I count on you? No. He didn't ask him that. And let me ask you this. Could Simon have answered yes to any of that? He learned better than that, didn't he? He learned better than to say, I'm with you no matter what. He couldn't have said yes to any of that. But do you love me? Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. You see, we love him because he first loved us. May God bless us in this. This is divine love, isn't it? The love of our Savior. May we abide in the vine to the extent and in so much as this fruit is born in us and through us by His grace. Let's pray together.